Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His word. I trust that you are well. The Lord is keeping and watching over your life. Today we shall carry on with our Bible study, and we'll be starting the book of 1 Thessalonians. And this is a letter that is written by Paul. And in fact, he writes it with Silvanus and Timothy. These are his companions. And he writes it to the believers in Thessalonica. Now, you know, in his missionary journeys, there were various places that Paul went through, and Thessalonica was one of them. And this was one of the places where he had, you will consider, the shortest time, in that he did not have much time with them. There was great persecution. He had to leave. But interestingly, the Thessalonians are among the churches that stood more and more faithful. And by the grace of God, he is happy to come and meet them and, you know, and share his letter to them. And we can see that it's possible that people can still grow, people can still be affirmed by the truth. And although he did not have much time, there were questions that the believers had. So he writes this letter to address some of these questions that they had for them. And so this is just the essence of the book, to understand how Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, and just trying to bring them to understanding. They had questions about the end times. They had questions, you know, some people were already telling them that, you know, Jesus has already come back, and but he's able to try and clarify that, you know, things, how things will be. He's able to let them know how Timothy will go and see them, how they can live for Christ, and even how they can await the resurrection. So ideally, this is one of those books that he tries to address a few things, and by the grace of God, we're going to be able to learn from it. It was not a church that had many challenges. You will not think of it like the Corinthian churches or the Colossian churches, but this was a more stable church. So let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and the Bible says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. And that means there are three people who are writing. So as you know, Paul did not write the letters himself. He will dictate them, and then he will just sign at the end. So Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you only in word, or in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from wrath. So if you can see already from the initial letter, there's already a commendation of this church, and he's already excited about them, and he's saying every time he always gives thanks to God, because there are certain things that they had. They had the characteristics that they continued. They did not stop, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. So there was a work of faith at the Thessalonians churches. They believed in the Lord Jesus. They had a labor of love. That means they were supporting one another in love. They were able to labor for one another in love. And beyond that also, they were patiently waiting for the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means there was a certain expectation of the coming of Christ that guided their lives, that guided their belief system. But you see, all that did not just arise out of nothing. It arose out of their election by God. What is the meaning of election? Election is the understanding that we are chosen by God before the foundations of the world to be born again. But how are we elected? We are chosen in Christ. That means the entire world, God has willed it that each and every man be saved. It's not just that certain people are saved and others are not chosen to be saved. No, God has desired that each and every human being be saved. But how he has chosen it is that he has chosen people in Christ. That means that you can choose where to go, you can decide where to go, but if you hear the gospel and you understand the message of the Christ, then you can choose to believe in him. And when you choose to believe in Christ, then you become chosen in Christ. That means that God has not predetermined who will do what and who will fail not. No, God does not do that. God has not made robots. Otherwise, if God had predetermined who will be saved and who will not be saved, then there's no point to even choose him, because at the end of the day, he already knows who will choose him and who will not. But God has predestined each and every man that when they come and encounter Christ, they will be conformed to the image of his Son. And that choice he has given to you and me. And that's why I say, beloved brethren, your election by God, you are chosen by God. And he says, how are you chosen? Because when you heard the gospel, you believed it. Because the gospel did not just come to you in words. And this is something that we have to understand. By the grace of God, when we preach to people, when we preach in just words of human wisdom, then it does not have impact on people. But you see, there is a certain power that no man can resist. In the demonstration of the power and the Holy Spirit, you see, when there is ministration of the Holy Spirit, when there is the voice of the Holy Spirit, when there is the gifts of the Holy Spirit on display, when there is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, when there is the demonstration of the power, then the assurance of people does not rest on words of human philosophy, but on the demonstration of power. Can see how Paul says that when he writes to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, brothers, remember when I came to you, I did not come with persuasive words of human wisdom, but my speech, you know, was futile, my speech was weak, but I came in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit, that your faith should not depend on human wisdom, but that your faith should depend on the Holy Spirit. So there is that dependence on the Holy Spirit that God releases. And when you understand the manifestation of the Spirit of God, then, and you've experienced it, then you have no doubt that God is real in your lives. You can see how he says that it was the Holy Spirit was working out the most holy emotions in the hearts of my hearers. There is a burning that God gives us when we hear the truth. There is a confirmation. Our inner man bears witness with our spirits that God, with God's spirit, that indeed we are hearing the word of God. And he says, our gospel, the message that we came, did not just come to you in word, but also in power. So by the grace of God, we must demonstrate the Holy Spirit. Remember, yesterday we were saying that Paul was saying that I ought to manifest it as I ought to speak. That means as we manifest the power of God, as we manifest the anointing, as we manifest the truth of the gospel, then we are able to speak it. And the word of God has the demonstration of the power. And men's faith will not rest on our eloquence, will not rest on our usage of words, on our witty application of words, but our hope shall rest in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we must have. And so he tells them that, look here, not only did we just preach the gospel, but you also know the kind of example that we showed you. You can see it says the kind of men that we were. You see, leaders and those who preach the gospel not only just preach in words, but also preach in action. People don't just believe what you say, they believe what you do. They watch to see what you do. They watch to see if your life is a reflection of that which you are saying. That is why he says, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And he says, and beyond that, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. As I said earlier, the Thessalonians received the word of God in the midst of the persecution. Paul was not able to stay long with them, but he was persecuted. And the church continued to be persecuted, but there is something that they had. They became followers of Paul and his companions and of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also they received the word with the joy of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was listening to one of the teachers, and he was explaining how there was a time where they're in a meeting, and you see, you know, the sound went and the power went, and there was only one person who was singing with joy, you know. And someone asked him that, hey, but why is that person with the joy? And then the person said, it's because that is a new convert. They still have the joy of the Holy Spirit. And the question was, why is it that people who have stayed long in the faith, who have known much, the theology has come, we no longer have the same joy in the Holy Spirit that someone who has just recently converted has? If we keep ourselves alive in the truth of the gospel, then we can have the joy of the Holy Spirit. And the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but it's a matter of power, of love, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's about joy in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is able to release joy in our hearts, that even in the midst of affliction, you can see they were receiving the word in affliction. But even in that affliction, there was a joy that was coming from the Holy Spirit. There was a comfort that was coming from His presence. And this is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He is able to give us joy. And joy is not just an emotion of happiness. You see, happiness is temporary, but joy is a state of revelation. It's a state where we truly have the emotions, the holy emotions from the Holy Spirit, knowing that we are forgiven of our sins. We are cleansed, we are purified, but beyond that also, we are accepted into the beloved. And we are awaiting the glorious hope, the beloved hope, the return of our Lord Jesus, that at each and every time, no matter the persecution will only bring out the glory. It will only lead us to a far greater glory, because this outer man, yes, is fading away, but the inner man will be renewed. That when we set aside this earthly tent, then on the other side, then we shall be with our Father. And he says that, you see, because of this joy of the Holy Spirit, you as the church in Thessalonica, you became an example to others, to all those in Macedonia, to all those in Achaia, because you see, as believers, what you go through will always be an example to others. It will always go forth. There is a sound that comes out from you. That's why I said that your faith has gone out to every place. That means your belief in God, your perseverance in persecution, your joy in the Holy Spirit, your receiving of the word of God in affliction has still gone out to the world. That means that your faith cannot just stay where it is. If God is working in your life, your sound, there is a sound that you release that goes out into the world. That's why it says, from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. That means that there is a voice that each and everyone releases in the Spirit, especially when we are obedient to God, that calls forth people. You can think of how the Bible says the sound, you know, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the earth and the handiwork is the firmament which is handiwork, declare his handiwork, and it says day after day they utter forth speech and night after night they reveal knowledge. And then he said, there is no place where their voice is not heard. And this is Psalms 19. There is no place where their voice is not heard. That means if the firmament, if the heavens, if they declare the glory of God, if they release truth, you know, if they are constantly proclaiming the glory of God, how about we who are created in the image of God, we who are the dwelling place of God, we are also declaring the glory of God. We each and every day we speak out. There's a speech that comes out from you. There's a sound that comes out for you. The Bible says that this sound that was coming up from the Thessalonians, who had gone out into the world, to the ends of the earth, and it was not only in Macedonia, in Achaia, but also in every place. I want to tell you that when you have received the word of God, when you're bearing fruit, there is a sound that goes forth, and that sound will not just be local. That sound goes forth in the spirit. It goes forth to the ends of the earth. And men, when there's a clarity of the sound, when there's a clarity of the message, men will hear you. Men will come and hear you. And this is not only in Macedonia, in Achaia, but also in every place. And the Bible says, your faith toward God has gone out. So we do not need to say anything. And how is it? These are people who turned from idols. They were idol worshippers, but they turned to God to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. So they had an understanding that, you see what, we can no longer serve idols. We can no longer worship idols, but we are going to serve the living and true God, and we're going to wait for his Son. Who is his Son? Jesus Christ. God in a man who God raised him from the dead. He's the Son of God because God raised him from the dead. And even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. So there's a coming judgment that is coming. But Jesus, he is the one who has rescued us from the terrors, from the wrath of the coming judgment. The church in Thessalonica were awaiting the coming of the Lord. They knew that judgment was coming. They were concerned, and some were even being told that, you see, the rapture has already taken place. But you see, Paul writes this to encourage them and tell them, look here, not yet. We are still waiting. Don't think that he has already come. No, he is not yet come. The second coming has not yet happened. Just be patient, and we're going to see that. He tells them that we are going to wait for his Son from heaven. He will come from heaven. Every eye will see him. And he later shows them how the first trumpet will sound, and then the dead in Christ will rise. And then we who are alive will be caught up to meet them in the Lord in the air. So there is a process by which all these things will happen. But we can continue to wait and have the blessed hope and await the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this is just the introduction part to Thessalonians. This is the message that God wanted the church to understand. And it will be more of a letter of commendation. And this is a blessing that we see and we will learn as we study this. Let us take a moment to thank God and to pray for the word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you that you love us with an everlasting love, that indeed you've called us to know you, to be chosen by you, to be elected of you in Christ, that Lord, from the beginning of time, you knew us by name, and you have purposed us to hear your word, to be followers of the Lord, to be guided by you, to be protected by you, to be led by you in each and every step of the way. We submit ourselves to your Lordship. Watch over us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Guide our steps. Go ahead of us. Give us the wisdom that we need to do. Thank you for those that are meeting in various places, that your presence and power shall be upon them. Remember the church before you. The Lord, you meet your people, you encourage, you strengthen, you walk with them, that your power will be upon each and every one of them. We honor your holy name, we exalt you and we magnify you. We come against sickness, anyone that is unwell, we break the power of sickness over their lives. And we plead the blessing of Jesus for your provision, for your open doors, that you make a way where there is no way, O God. Heavenly Father, we know that you are faithful, you are holy, and you are mighty to be praised. We exalt you and we lift up your name. Your name be exalted and be magnified. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Shalom. Have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.